T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From TSN Canada, Darren Dreger joining us here as we're all working from home. Fan Morning Show. Darren, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, a non-typical time, and kind of an atypical time, I should say, here for everyone, and that brings about thoughts that are kind of all across the board. So I don't know if you're abreast of it. I'm sure you probably are. But this North Dakota idea, does it have this bubbleless bubble, so to speak? Does it have any legs or not?
Well, I would say it's been discussed. Would it be priority? No, it's one of probably a dozen different scenarios that are under consideration. But as we can all appreciate, until there is an all clear from the various health authorities, you know, perhaps starting with the World Health Organization, CDC, and then the local health authorities, there is no scenario that is going to be embraced anytime soon. And we know that the NHL and the Players Association have looked at centralization options, particularly for the postseason. And, you know, one of the scenarios that, you know, has been discussed is perhaps four cities, you know, involving the 16 teams, so four teams in each of those four locations. But to say that, you know, the National Hockey League has earmarked Grand Forks and North Dakota as position A, I don't think that's reality at this stage. You know, neutral sites, I'm sure, have been discussed, and perhaps geographically there have been areas that have been discussed, but I don't believe that the National Hockey League or the Players Association have identified one specific area to say, yep, we can go there when, you know, we get at least a portion of what might look like an all clear.
Do you have a feeling, Darren, or has it been discussed in sort of your discussions with other people, where those regional sites may be, or is the league, is that something that's still, I guess, just amongst discussion phase?
Yeah, it's very much in discussion phase. And I want to caution here, you know, again, there's so many things that are being discussed and have been discussed on a daily basis. You know, that's what the NHL is there for to some degree, with the Players Association working arm in arm in this. You know, the NHL needs to be as prepared as they can possibly be, with the hope that one day in the future, whenever that is, that they will get the green light to proceed. And, you know, that process can't take a week or 2 weeks. They have to be able to roll out in a couple of days. So, yes, again, geographically, I'm sure that, you know, if we want to consider that centralization as an attractive option, and maybe it would become an attractive option, again, depending on the situation. If you're playing in empty venues and you're trying to minimize the risk, and obviously that would be top priority for all the decision makers in this, then I again, centralization might be something that the NHL looks hard at, given the opportunity to actually consider it. I'm skeptical, fellas. I really, truly am, because my world's no different than the world that you guys are living in. And every morning we wake up and we read something else that isn't very positive. So how are we going to get to a place with any of the major sports where it's going to be safe enough to put 150 to 200 people in a building? You know, what's the testing procedure that needs to happen to make sure that, you know, all of the players, all of the team personnel, all of the arena staff, all of the broadcast personnel that would be required, even in an empty venue, to broadcast these games, how are they going to be certain every single day that all these people aren't carrying or testing positive? I mean, logistically, it's a nightmare. It's a consideration. It's a scenario. But I think we're a long way from it becoming reality.
Well, that's the question I wanted to get to, Darren. Is there an apprehensive, unified voice, maybe one or maybe many, that we haven't heard that we might hear that say, and Chip Kelly, the UCLA football coach, said this yesterday, but I wonder where this would come in the NHL. Someone say, wait a minute, stop the ride here. So why is it safe for the combatants, but it's not safe for people to sit and watch us? What's the delineation with humans here?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. And you know, I'm sure, again, that's been considered by all major sports. No question about that. Clearly, it only takes one carrier or one individual testing positive to infect many exponentially. I mean, that's why COVID-19 is among the reasons why it is so lethal, right? So I don't have an answer for you. That's why I'm so skeptical. The whole process of playing in empty venues, to me, is a head-scratcher because it's not an empty venue. I mean, the fans aren't there, so you're to some degree minimizing the risk, but only to some degree. So, and look, for me, this feels like the cart is ahead of the horse. I find it difficult to comprehend that any health authority will allow any of the major sports to move forward unless it's entirely safe. Perfectly safe. And when is that? None of us have the answers to that. So I think we need to caution and be careful, even though we in the media, you know, can talk about all of these possibilities and report on things that are being discussed. There's a big difference between what is being speculated and ultimately what will become reality. And the reality for all of this is the sports are only going to return when safe to do so and not before then, regardless of what the restrictions look like or, you know, some of the ideas that we in the NHL and the Players Association can conjure up. You know, the NHL, Commissioner Bettman, Don Fuhrer, the Players Association, they're not in the driver's seat on any of this. They're not. Those decisions will be made by health authorities and local governments.
TSN Hockey Insider Darren Traeger with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Just outline, I guess it's not a brief thumbnail sketch, but it is as succinctly as you can, Darren, and you're very good at putting numbers into words, the financial impact of this on the league and why they've maintained a push to try and play some regular season games if they're allowed to restart at some point this summer, and what it does to the league's, and particularly, you know, franchises in Canada as well, the TV deals, how it's all tied into the financial impact of the league.
Yeah, it's a beast. It is a monster in terms of lost revenue. And, you know, projections are north of $1 billion, $1 billion in climbing. And then, you know, that's assuming that the season to some degree is wiped out. And then what is that number going to look like? It's impossible to calculate at this stage, but I think that's why you're seeing, you know, some of what we reported yesterday, specific to the National Hockey League Players Association, starting to roll out escrow money. Now, the escrow money that is going to the owners, roughly $230 million, is from the 2018-2019 season, and then the players will split their share, which is approximately $80 million. But there's another decision that the Players Association is working on right now. And that's what to do with the final escrow payment of their final paycheck due April 15th. Do they hold it at 14%? Do they increase that payment to 100%? So every dollar of the player's final paycheck across the National Hockey League would go into a separate account and ultimately then could be paid back to the NHL and the owners as future payment for this year to offset what could be a mammoth escrow based on all of the lost revenue. So there's the reason why we keep talking about, you know, what the return formulas might look like, because it is crucial to the players and to the NHL and its owners to play some semblance of a regular season and a postseason this year when safe to do so. It's all because of revenue.
Darren, are different organizations proportionately hurt differently? That is to say, will some of them, Phoenix maybe comes to mind, I don't know, places like that where the attendance isn't necessarily great. Are different organizations maybe in jeopardy of not coming back and having stable footing for a long time?
Well, stable footing for a long time is a possibility. One thing I will commend Commissioner Bettman for is he has always been super protective of the viability of all of the franchises, and only, you know, considered expansion when he felt like the existing franchises were in a good place. So I don't see any way that any of the 31 franchises, and Seattle being 32 waiting in the wings, are going to fold because of this. But, you know, could there be some prop-up plans internally where the NHL has to cushion and bridge, you know, some of the clubs who have been hit the hardest financially? I guess that's a consideration. But, you know, often on social media and whatnot, and I understand it, because, you know, for Joe or Jill average, it's hard to comprehend the money that professional athletes earn, the billionaire owners, all of that. But everybody is feeling it, and the billionaire owners are no different than that. You know, you look across the National Hockey League, it's not just the fact that the teams aren't playing and the revenue isn't coming in through its various streams. Many of these owners develop their empires well outside the arena of sport. You know, I mean, some of them are hotel chain owners. Many of them own, you know, restaurant chains and on and on. And the business might just be some degree tied to the professional sports teams and the teams that they own, but their wealth was amassed by outside industry. And that industry is feeling it no differently than pro sports or any of us who are feeling the pinch at this point as well. So undoubtedly, there will be NHL owners who are going to need some assistance.
Somewhat briefly, if you can, Darren, if they have to reduce the salary cap going forward, because we've got about a minute here.
Yeah.
If they have to reduce the salary cap going forward, do you expect it to happen in one big sort of chunk right as they get back to things in the next year or so? Or do you expect them to find a way to sort of slowly decrease that so that we're not seeing an influx of free agents come onto the market because different teams are up against the cap?
Right, and I'm glad you've asked this because it needs to be clarified. I do think it'll be a multi-year program that impacts both the salary cap and the escrow that players will have to pay into, because, as I said earlier, we cannot expect the players to shoulder the brunt of this and pay a 30-35% escrow. That's absurd. That's not going to happen. It's important to note that the NHL and the NHLPA can bargain what that salary cap for the return will look like for next year. Even though there's been tremendous lost revenue, there's no way that salary cap is going to dive by 30 or 40%. That's just not going to happen. I think it'll be close to what it is now, so in the low 80s, but that has to be agreed on between the NHL and the Players Association.
Darren, we thank you. Normally when there's a problem in hockey in Pittsburgh, we just wait for Mario or Sid to score a goal and it gets all cured. Maybe a couple goals even, but this one runs a little deeper. And we thank you for clearing it up for us, and we'll talk again soon, Darren.
You bet. Be well, guys.
Thank you so
too.
Very much. Thanks. Darren Dreger, the voice. For me, he's the voice of reason. He's the voice of he's the guy who's most connected in hockey. Darren Dreger, TSN in Canada. Chris, I thought he made a lot of fabulous points there, and he's straight down the middle. He tells you what he knows, and he tells you everything that he knows. I thought he was fabulous.
A ton of great perspective on the idea of getting back to playing, whether it's hockey or any other sport, and also on the financial impacts of the games that we love. It's going to affect every single team throughout major professional sports, and that includes the National Hockey League.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.